The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Oh, man, we're an hour in. And I haven't even told you an interesting piece of news about our broadcast day. Don't get ahead of me.
Yes, I am indeed doing another show today. Which one might it be? Let's spin the big Mark Davis fill-in wheel. Ring, ding, 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 ding. Answer is Larry Elder. Whoa, Larry Elder. So not only do I get you to work today, I take you home. Larry is out today and tomorrow. I can't do tomorrow, but I can do today. So 5 to 8 p.m. today, woohoo, I'm back. And so we'll see what happens during the day today. Think anything's going to happen in the news during the day today? I'm guessing it will. And so when you pop in the car after work or whatever you may be doing between 5 and 8 p.m. and Larry Elder's your talk show buddy, well, today, there I am. It is a joy every day to fill in on a Prager, an Elder, or wherever they want me to go. I live to serve, and it's great to be there for the country. But you know, it's all about y'all. Particularly, it's just really, really neat for this market for me to do this show locally, and then, you know, every once in a while just bring, you know, whatever vibe we have here and just hit up the rest of the country about that. Especially very California centric shows like Prager and Elder, who are both longtime Los Angeles guys. Which is the greatest thing in the world, because Dennis and Larry are two of my favorite conservatives ever, whether they were talk show hosts or not. And for them to be out there in the seething cauldron of Los Angeles, it's just extra delicious. On that premise, as I get ready to hop to your calls, another thread that you can weave between certain stories. So this morning, you know, two of the 37 things we can talk about are the president speaking some truth at the NATO meetings in Brussels. People are freaking out because he is speaking truth and supporting the American taxpayer and not falling victim to the usual diplomatic doublespeak. And so people are having heart attacks and nervous breakdowns and freaking out. Now, a very divergent story, but a similar phenomenon. I have mentioned, because I just want to get you ready, this NFL season is going to be a disaster. In terms of America-hating players showing us their feelings in this regard. The NFL is the NFLPA, Players Association. They're not suing because they don't think they're going to have to, but they're going to have talks. They're going to bully poor Roger Goodell into, I say that with air quotes, because the guy is inept. I don't know how he is not, or how he is still NFL commissioner. And the most recent inept thing he did was this stupid idea. And you may remember this from a couple of months ago. This genius says, all right, we're not going to let you kneel on the sidelines anymore. But if you just can't bring yourself to stand and show respect for the flag, stay in the locker room. Which is, of course, a joke. So we're totally going to know who the flag-hating teams and players are, because they ain't going to be on the sidelines. It used to be we knew because they were kneeling right there as veterans and fans looked on. They didn't care. They didn't care. It's all about them. Now we'll know because they will not grace us with their presence, because they'll stay in the locker room. What if you've got a team where half the team wants to come out and do the anthem and the other half doesn't? That's going to be just great for team chemistry. Anyway, the NFL Players Association is now charging that the NFL violated their collective bargaining agreement with this rule. There should be one simple rule. Get your butt out on the field and stand and respect the flag, period. It's our league. You are our employees. Every team should say this with no exceptions. Just do it. You're on the clock. do it. And meanwhile, these players, it violates our rights and blah, blah, blah. It is going to be hell on earth in the NFL this season. I'm just sorry to tell you that, because the Cowboys may be actually pretty darn good. I have a feeling this Allen Hurns thing is going to work out pretty well. The weirdest thing in the world is Dez Bryant may be back. No one else has taken him, I don't think. Has anybody? So that could be, I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. Dak is great. I love Dak. And we got an offensive line. And Zeke, I think, is going to find a way not to be suspended for anything. So, heck, we may go to the Super Bowl. I don't know. But the league in general, and it's going to be hell. It's going to be terrible. Now, so what's the common thread with the Trump-NATO story? It is that love of America, patriotism, embracing the best interests of the United States. These things are controversial. These things freak people out. These things that used to be bedrock values, these things that used to be systemic for us, these things that used to be as natural as breathing are now, wait a minute. You're going to make us respect the flag? Yeah. Wait a minute. The president is out there, you know, giving a gentle finger wagging to quote unquote allies that we're not going to give them a free ride on defending their nations anymore. And maybe they need to pony up a little bit because the American taxpayer is tired of being saddled with that. He's really going to say those words. Yeah. America has fallen so far. Our reputation has been so damaged. Our habits have been so misguided for so very, very long, our culture so poisoned, that now that somebody, anybody, starts to behave in ways like we used to behave, with a residual respect for our nation, a residual expectation of respect for our flag, the speaking of truth around the world about America's interest, that when these things happen now in 2018, when Trump does them, if the NFL ever pulls its head out and requires standing at attention during the anthem, people literally, but not literally, don't misuse literally. I was in the place that it literally exploded. People very nearly pass out in the street. Like, they get the vapors. That's how far we have fallen. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. And it's not just about him. But if he is leading this, if he is energizing us, I feel energized. I've been doing talk shows saying these things for 30 some years. And and during the Reagan years, I had someone feeling similarly in the White House. And now not only do I have someone who feels similarly in the White House, but he fights. He fights for these things. And as we get ready to go to calls right now, I know right now as it's like there are people going, oh, good Lord, what really? Anthem, flag stuff, NFL, really? What, really? Yes, really. Why is this important? Why is this a big deal? It's an enormous deal. It's not an enormous deal in the way that that environmental policy is, or borders, or you know, the life and death of protecting the unborn. This is a big deal attitudinally, culturally. It is a vital teaching moment in which we learn, have already learned, and are about to learn again as soon as, I'm trying to remember last year, did we have a lot of anthem protest nonsense in the preseason, during the meaningless preseason? Because I think players sensed that not a lot of people were paying attention, so they waited until actual opening day. But this year, I don't know, man. I do not know. I mean, because we're a couple of months from preseason games, right? They're preseason games next month. A couple of months, shoot. We're a couple of weeks from training camp. Anyway, we have seen displayed to us, we have learned by their behavior, that there are people, and I know, how many NFL players is it? It's not even that many people. I know, but sometimes a little group of people, a small group of people are emblematic of something. And if, as a culture, we see a few people doing something and we say, that's okay, it says something sick about our culture. But if we see that small group of people doing something and we say, oh, hell no, that won't fly, that says something wonderful about our culture. You copy that? So when these malcontents, when these folks, these millionaires in NFL uniforms, and I don't begrudge them any point they want to make about racial disparity in policing or whatever. Let's have that conversation all the time. I'm fine. Hello, I'm a conversation guy. I do this for a living. And off the air, I'm all about discussion and discourse and you know, civil engagement. By all means. But when you choose to take your gripe, no matter what it is, and express your angst and your dissatisfaction by taking a knee during the national anthem, no. And if we let this slide, it means that, well, I mean, what's the next thing that somebody's going to have their shorts in a wad over? And just so you know, if you're new to the show, even if somebody had a cause that I completely agreed with, if somebody said, you know, I'm for stronger, America is too weak on its borders, and so I'm going to show disrespect for the flag. Or we have a Holocaust in the womb, so I'm going to show disrespect for the flag. I'd be the first person to say, don't you ever do that. Don't you ever take your personal political gripes, even ones that I may share with you, and show disrespect for the flag as your vehicle, as your soapbox. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. But they're going to, and here it comes, and we can never stop fighting. We can never stop speaking out. It must be made clear to these people that this does not work. It does not fly. It will not prevail. It is not acceptable. So that's why it's important. It's extremely important. In Euless, Steve, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Boy, what a way to follow that in. You know, the one thing I said to the call screen was I've been watching the World Cup. I've never been much of a soccer fan, but I've kind of watched it and kept my eye on it and watched all the drama that unfolds. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and I was like, you know, Germany has problems. Mexico has problems. France has problems.
Yeah.
But yet, every game I watch, I haven't seen one player take a knee.
Nope. Nor will you. Yeah. You think Croatia has some issues? You think, I mean, Saudi Arabia, you're probably not going to show disrespect to the Saudi flag. You'll be playing without a head. But your point is exactly right.
Right. I just don't understand. I'm like, they have issues that are far beyond the pale of what we have.
Yep.
And not once have they shown any disrespect to their country.
And the reason is because their love of country, their respect for their nation outweighs, they have the emotional and intellectual maturity and the sense of decorum to know that whatever gripe they may have about some issue within their country, they would never make it about them. They would never embarrass or antagonize an entire crowd full of people just to say, hey, look at me. Look at me right now. I know this is supposed to be a unifying moment when we express love of country. No, look at me, because this is my time. This is my soapbox. This is my bullhorn so that you can see what my feelings are on a certain issue. Ain't nobody on the Croatia soccer team gonna do that today. Nobody on the French team did that yesterday as they beat Belgium, and Croatia England is today to determine who else is in the final. So absolutely, Steve, exactly right, and thank you. These pampered, immature NFL athletes simply must be made to understand that they are completely free in a free country with free speech to voice their opinions in a number of ways, and that flag protests are not one of them. Hey, with the World Cup in our heads, to the degree that it is in your head, France is in the final. They beat Belgium yesterday, 1-0, of course. I've enjoyed the World Cup, too. I actually have. I'll probably watch a little bit of England-Croatia. That's kind of fun. Croatia had the big shootout, took out Russia the other day. That was fun. So then we'll have the final on Sunday. I have an image in my head. I want to paint a picture for you. I know it's not doable, but it made me smile. It lifted my heart. And if there's any way to do it, I just don't know. Here's the deal. It'll be 1:00 on Sunday. It's like 9:00 over there. So it's a Sunday night thing. And I'm thinking France, England is kind of fun. That's, you know, France, England for the World Cup final. If it's not that, it'll be France, Croatia. And those are scrappy dudes. So either way, it's going to be a fun final. And the world will be watching. And there'll be a stadium filled with folks in Moscow. And it'll be World Cup final time, the most viewed and most regarded sporting event in the world, you know, for the next 4 years. Before they do that, with all those eyes in the stadium, looking over the pitch, with all those eyes on TV screens around the globe, getting ready to witness the spectacle, I want you to imagine something. With the teams lined up on their sidelines, with the anthems played, whatever two anthems they may be, one of them will be La Marseillaise for the good French folks. I want you to imagine something. What language does the PA announcer speak? Bienvenue, privet. What language? If England would be easy, but whoever, well, probably Russian because they're in Moscow. If the PA announcer says, before we do tonight's kick, we have some very special guests that we would like to welcome to the field. It's a soccer team. I think you know them. And out walk, to the degree that they can walk, the Wild Boars. Those boys from Thailand who just spent 2 weeks in hell in that cave. Can you imagine? Well, imagining is probably all we can do because some of them aren't even on solid food and they got pneumonia and they're behind plexiglass, can't even hug their parents yet. So I don't think they're going to be up for a big shuttle flight to Moscow on Sunday. But and I'm so glad they're out. Thank God every day. But wouldn't that be something? That's wouldn't that be? I mean, maybe they could do something via Skype. I don't even know. But on Sunday, as the world's attention turns to soccer, the soccer team that I'll be thinking about moving forward will be those boys. Because this morning, or this evening in Thailand, they're just wrapping up their first full day breathing the air, the entire team. It's 8:24 p.m. in Thailand right now. And I don't think there's been a parental hug yet. I don't know. Because they're in biological isolation there because they could be infected. They got stuff going on. And, you know, a hug from mom could give them some bug and leave them in the hospital for a month. You don't want that. So they're being properly cautious. But they are out. They are out. Thank God Almighty. They are out. And you know what? Just one last thing on the Thailand soccer team. These parents might have a thing or two. I was watching the news last night, and the parents have a message for the coach. I'll bet they do. But they'd be like, what were you thinking? Nope. They want to thank that coach. They show love to him, respect to him, thanks to him, because that might not have been his best decision-making to go, hey, boys, let's go into that cave. Or the boys said, let's go into the cave. And the coach said, sure. Not a good moment for him. That's stipulated. But once they were in there, he covered them with his love. He took care of them. He was the grown-up who gave them some hope. So God bless this coach, too. Because you know what? They all got out. God bless those rescuers. Have you seen the picture of the Navy SEALs that were in there for the entire time from the rescue, from the moment they were found to getting everybody out of there? What was that, 4 or 5 days? And there were 4 or 5 Navy SEALs who stayed in there and never left. They wanted them to see the same faces, hear the same voices. And they came out and they had to wear sunglasses because they hadn't seen sunlight in like 4 or 5 days. And they're giving the big thumbs up. It's on my Twitter homepage. It's my background picture on my Twitter homepage. Whew. God is great every day. Mark Davis, 825. Arate, 831, 866-660-5759. Going right to calls as soon as we check into the newsroom. In for Gordon Griffin this week, it's Nikki Whaley. I do have to hand it to the boys of U2. They have found a way to remain relevant. Working on 4 decades. From just a couple of months ago, I guess, a little single they dropped. Because that's what you do to singles these days. To be the words of your song. Bono and the boys. I know the rage in you is strong. Love is bigger than anything in its way. We can be loved. I smell a political agenda there, but it is a nice thought. I saw U2 and the Alarm in the Jacksonville Civic Center. I was doing my first talk show like ever, you know, my first talk show gig ever. And it was probably about 1983. And seen him a couple of times since in somewhat bigger venues. All righty, 866-660-5759. All right, let's dive in. Got a bunch of calls on a bunch of things. We are in Dallas. Bob, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good.
If you want to end this football thing, just don't watch.
Well, okay, that's a position I'll take, and a number of other people will too, but there'll never be enough. There will never be enough people where the NFL will be brought to its knees and will suddenly say, we've got to pull our heads out and start making our players respect the flag. We sometimes feel like it might, because ratings are down. The NFL is obviously realizing they've screwed up mightily. And you know, it's and that solves it in my world, because it settles it in my world, but it doesn't settle it nationally. There's the real wisdom has to come from the NFL, because even if I'm not watching, it's still happening, and it's still on the TV box, and it still has people who are saying, well, those guys are heroes to me for, you know, spitting on the flag, metaphorically speaking. So I mean, that is a solution for the individual. We can all watch what we want to watch, but it'll, even if I stop watching, it will still be going on, and it will still be a seething problem that needs to be fixed.
I disagree with you. You've got a way of reaching a lot of people, you know, with your microphone, and someone like Rush Limbaugh or something could say, we're not going to watch the San Francisco.
No, and that's fine, and it'll be an 8% decrease in ratings, and that's happening, by the way. But the vast majority of people, and God bless Rush and God bless me, the vast majority of people ain't listening to talk radio, and they're just going about their lives, and they love their Rams, and they love their 49ers, and they love their whatever other team is doing it, and there will still be a massive, massive audience. Remember when the Cowboys were doing horrible things, dreadful behavioral things, cocaine, strippers, blah, 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 you know, late 90s or something. And everybody said, well, I'll tell you what we ought to do is just stop going to games. Right. Every time somebody stopped going to a Cowboys game, there'd be 500 people who've wanted season tickets since the Landry era who would be there to replace them.
Well, stop going to games is one thing.
That's what I think, right.
It costs a lot of money.
Correct.
For the tickets.
But stop watching is another matter.
Stop watching.
And you're right. And that distaste has, that what you've described is happening, and the NFL does. They have to feel it, or they wouldn't have come up with this cockamamie have it both ways policy. You totally have a point.
I haven't watched in 2 years, and the first year was awful.
Yeah, I know.
But you finally just get weaned off of it, and last year I don't think I saw a single play.
And you somehow still had a healthy life and maybe freed up your Sunday all kinds of uplifting things.
And
I know.
Watch more college games.
Yes,
it was just great.
Exactly. That's, life does go on. Bob, thank you very, very much. I know, but silly me. Here's what I want. I want I love the NFL. I love the Cowboys. I love football. So for me to just swear off of it because the NFL has chosen to offend me by allowing players to offend my country, it is a solution up to a point. It solves my day. It solves my viewing habits. It's a statement I get to make. But is that okay? Is that all? Is that enough? Does life become better because I'm, well, frees up, you know, I know. But if it's still going on, it's still an enormous problem. The problem will not be solved until our nation makes clear that showing hate to America is not an accepted form of protest on any issue. So if I'm not watching, yay me, you know, maybe I'll get some stuff done around the house. It'll never interfere with church, but it's, you know, maybe they have after church, it's football, and maybe I'll get stuff done. Who knows? But that's lovely for me and lovely for my, you know, honey-do list and, you know, da-da. But it won't be solved until the NFL is shown, until these players are shown the error of their ways. Only then will it be okay. We're in Garland. Gene, welcome. How are you, sir? Nice to have you.
Well, if they're down there, they're going to
walk. Oh, my gosh. We're not paying attention. Hey, Gene. Hi, Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing, man? Nice to have you. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Appreciate you, Mark. I always appreciate you.
Appreciate you back.
And the guy's right. I don't watch near as many football games.
Yeah.
Don't watch LeBron James. Don't watch Golden State. Yeah. I've been probably the biggest sports fan ever, ever since a kid. I worked for the Cowboys at Cotton Bowl. You know?
Oh, bless your heart. That's fantastic. That's some stories.
But that's kind of off the subject. My deal is, you know, the I don't know. I don't really like to call them Democrats anymore because I don't think they are Democrats, but the left. I'm just like, you know, they're going crazy over this Roe v. Wade deal.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, if Roe v. Wade is on solid constitutional grounds, what are they worried about a Supreme Court justice, you know, from any side?
Right. Their narrative.
If it's constitutional.
No, I know. Well, here's the thing. It's not. And we had a court.
Okay.
We had a court discover that it was. They believe that it is. They believe Roe v. Wade was correctly argued and correctly found in 1973. So they believe that the evil constitutionalist justices are going to come in and erase a valid constitutional right. So before any argument, there has to be some serious education. And the education sounds like this. Roe v. Wade is an abomination, not because anybody's pro-life, not because of anybody's particular beliefs, but because of the factual matter that there's no right to abortion in the Constitution. They have enjoyed the right to abortion in the Constitution for 45 years. So anytime you're about to lose something you've had for 45 years, even if it's ill-gotten, it's going to be a shock to the system.
Well, but my point is that we don't overturn stuff that's constitutional. I mean, the justices that we put up, so I'm thinking they know it's unconstitutional.
Some do. And I think really intellectually honest people on the left, and they do exist, they totally know that they've had a free ride for 45 years. It's like, shh, don't anybody say anything. We've had this for 45 years, and it's totally bogus. They do know that. And for them, the fear is that the Constitution will actually be obeyed, and that will lose them an invented right that they've falsely enjoyed for nearly a half century.
Hey, Mark, can I say one more thing?
Of course.
You know, I'm your age. I'm 60.
Yes, sir.
And for the first time in my life, I'm afraid to put out a Trump sticker or a Trump sign or anything. I'm afraid.
You know, you're probably okay in Garland.
But you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about
do. Here's
nationwide.
Here's the thing. When this kid got attacked in the Whataburger in San Antonio. On that day, I was doing a bunch of that week, I was doing a bunch of Dennis Prager shows, and I took a call from a guy in New York. Hey, Mark, I'm in New York. I'm driving around Midtown Manhattan. I got a truck, and I got a Trump sticker on my truck, and I love driving around Manhattan. I love it. And he says, I'm taking the bumper sticker off because I can handle myself, but every once in a while, my wife borrows my truck. And I will not have her brutalized by somebody from the unhinged, violent left. These people, and listen, everybody listening right now that voted for Hillary, everybody voting for Beto and all my lovely liberal Texas friends, I know I'm not talking about you. I know you guys would never do anything like that. But among you, there are people who will. Among you, there are people who will dog Mitch McConnell and say, we know where you live, Mitch. Among you, there are people who will follow Maxine Waters' advice. Among you, there are people who will shout somebody out of a restaurant like Sarah Sanders had done to her. So because of that, Gene, here's what we do. Is that something we do to protect ourselves and our families? Or is that horribly sad because when we do that, the terrorists win?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is the left, they're not just, like I say, Maxine Waters encouraging people to do this stuff. This is not America. It's not American.
Yeah, that's... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is one of the most gripping quandaries in 2018 America. And thank you for all the material you gave us, Gene. Thank you. The theme we opened with and the theme we kind of carried through, you know, our first hour and 48 minutes here is ain't this great? You know, the change is real. People are freaking out. Because they're freaking out, that's how we know the change is real. Trump, you know, speaking truth at NATO, a constitutionalist Supreme Court justice. It's just truth and justice are busted out all over, and it's great. And people are freaking out, and that's fun to watch on the TV box, and it's you know, it's fun to watch the left melt down. But this is a real-world consequence. For the Trump supporter, for the demonstrative Trump supporter. And by that, I just mean somebody who'd wear a hat, somebody who'd wear a shirt, you know. And I don't ever, ever want anybody to get out there and start being obnoxious or in your face or scoreboarding people. No, it's not the way to be. Just enjoy the winning. Enjoy the winning. And do it with class and grace and humility and love for all. But even those who are doing that, are being attacked, literally, physically attacked, because even if it's 1% of everybody on the left, you know how many people that is who will throw a drink on your kid at Whataburger? You know, everybody talked about the charges filed that should be filed against this guy, and they were. He was arrested and booked. If that ever if a year from now Ethan is 16, and I don't know if he'd be a big MAGA hat guy. He loves the president, but I don't think he thinks the MAGA hat's cool enough. I won't make him wear one. But let's say he did. He gets attacked at a Whataburger by somebody like that. The one they'll be filing charges against is me, because I will find that person, and I'll rip him limb from limb if he attacks my son. You do something to my wife, I'll kill you. And so the person dealing with the justice system will be me. Now, ideally, we'd like for neither of those things to happen. So I understand this. When I can't get this guy's call out of my head, he said, I'm a proud New Yorker, and I know I'm in the total minority. And he said, and every once in a while, I'll be driving around and somebody will give me a big thumbs up if I'm on the Upper East Side or something like that. Like, yeah, Trump, yeah. And you know, and some people flip me the bird, but whatever. I don't care. It's in New York. It happens all the time anyway. But I'm taking my Trump bumper sticker off the truck, he said, because sometimes my wife drives my truck and I fear for her safety. This is Maxine Waters America. This is Maxine Waters America. This is even the tiny sliver. It's a tiny sliver of the left, but that's enough. And pardon the connection here, but if only 1%, you know, of the Muslims will kill you, that's a lot of people who will kill you. And if only 1% of the left will do something terrible to you for being a Trump supporter, that's a whole lot of people. So here we are. The change comes at a cost. Change comes at a cost. 851, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
It ain't that scratch off one stop. Fill up your truck with diesel. Tucked in the shadow of the First Baptist Church steeple. Bells ring, ring.
All right, this is Colby Keeling. K-E-E-L-I-N-G.
There's a blue-eyed reason why I ain't leaving. Long as she's here, gonna keep on keeping. Pulling on up in this drive.
Why I love this place. Colby Keeling, K-E-E-L-I-N-G. I know precisely nothing about him, because I just tripped over it in my crazy musical searches. All right, let's get on out of this hour. Two down, one to go. 866-660-5759.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.